This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Just stuck in the mud at you know, as a whatever they are today is what they are, unless they lose tomorrow or Friday, you know, at home to South Florida. Like, I just don't really think there's a lot of you know, upward or even downward mobility for them, you know, regardless of what happens the rest of the way. Like, we know by Sunday, you know, when they play the AAC title game next week, like, nobody's even paying attention anymore. Like, they've already submitted the bracket. It's over. So, yeah. There's just no way for Memphis to. And yeah, that's why. I mean, that's why I didn't think it would be this bad. I mean, this has been way worse than even I thought. And so, you know, I know there is urgency, you know, to get out of the league. But man, I turn it up even further because there's no end in sight. I don't know. I read this interview with Murray that Munz did. Like, that guy has no clue. He has no idea what he's doing with basketball in his league. So it's not going to get better. This is going to be your existence until, you know, your circumstances change.
You can read the column over the Daily Memphian, and Penny's going to be joining Jason and John today at 11:20 to 11:25 or so. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you again soon, John. Be listening today.
Hi, my man. Yep. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. We got to take a break. Back in a moment. Chris Harrington next. Jeff Gawkins, your 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Gawkins Show. Let's do this. Chris Harrington deal. Chris Henning joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's I Fall to Pieces by Patsy Cline. Died on this day in 1963 in honor is not the right word, in recognition of the recent Grizzlies vibe.
So, is it a vibe or a reference of their physical state?
No, it could be both. It's all interrelated. The body and mind are work in unison.
Questionable for tonight, Santi, Morant, Conchar, Pippen, out. A Huff is a G League assignment, and Jaren, week to week, grade two sprain. Let's start with the Jaren thing. What'd you think of that injury report?
The Huff thing, I think that's like I don't know if it matters, but it might matter because I feel like he might play. That is the thing where I think I think he'll be available tonight. I think they have to. It's a league paperwork thing where if he's going to practice with the Hustle, he has to.
Oh.
So we'll see about that. The Jaren stuff, not best case or worst case scenario. There's sort of two keys to here. It's you know, the Grizzlies' own fortunes, which are very much tied to having Jaren Jackson, I think. Hopefully, you know, we'll see what it looks like without him. We haven't seen that in a while other than that Atlanta game after he went out. And then there is the – he is, you know, to be eligible for All-NBA or Defensive Player of the Year, he has to hit the 65-game mark. As the league rules are written, it's 65 games of 20 minutes or more. So that game he played against Atlanta does not count. So I think he's at 58, not 59. So he's got seven to go. I think he's safe to get there. But it's not just about hitting that number. The more games he misses, the weaker it makes his case, right? So it's possible you hit that number, but if the team slides and you barely hit the number, it keeps you from getting that anyway. And so, like, there's a lot at stake with that.
Which case do you think is more likely to be All-NBA than
There's 15 of those. There's only one defensive player of the year.
And there's a clear contender who's going to be on the best team in the league.
Yeah, no, I think Evan Mobley is, to me, fairly likely to win. I don't know where – I know the gambling odds put Jaren up in first in that after the Wimby thing. Because I think the case, if you really sit down and look at it, which I did, the case is reasonably close between Jaren and Mobley. I do think those are the two best cases. The case is reasonably close. And Mobley has the advantage of, A, novelty, because Jaren's already won. And, B, he's on the better team. And there's this instinct to reward, like, you know, those teams. And so – I consider Mobley the favorite.
Have you dug into what a grade 2 sprain normally means?
I have not dug into it, but like it's not like an unusual injury. Right. And so, you know, the week-to-week thing basically gives them wiggle room. You know, it's like, we'll see how it goes with him.
Right.
He was listed as doubtful initially when he went out, and my understanding is he wanted to come back and play that game. Which they didn't let him do. And then once you find out it's a grade 2 instead of, I can't remember what's the worst, one or the three?
We were confused about this earlier.
I'm nearly certain grade 3 is the worst.
Okay. So regardless, it's a mid. It's right. A mid-grade, not the worst grade. And so the fact that it was a mid-grade, not the lowest grade or the more favorable suggests he should not have come back and played. You know, obviously he's not playing tonight. I doubt he will play on this road trip coming up, Dallas, New Orleans, and after that, who knows? I think it's a matter of sort of how it progresses and how he feels with it.
Even before he emerged as clearly the best Grizzly player this year,
yeah,
you would say and would have said and did say often that he was the most indispensable Grizzly player.
Yeah, I mean, that's varied because his career sort of varied over time. But once he sort of put it together on both ends of the floor, what I've always said about the metaphor or whatever I've always used with Jaren is he's the skeleton key. He is the guy who unlocks other stuff you can do as a team. He's the guy who makes lineups work that without him might not work. And for that reason, his value to me has always exceeded his individual production as a player. So there have been times you look at it and say, oh, Jaren's shooting this from the floor, or Jaren's fouling too much, or Jaren's this, or Jaren's that. And I was always higher on him than that because of the total team impact that I think he makes. Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to work tonight, if anything, because they're playing Oklahoma City.
It's a rough spot.
But going forward in the next 2 weeks.
Now, this is a good way to frame it.
How do you imagine they will survive without Jaren? What will the rotation
be? If we're assuming that everyone else is available, all these guys questionable. And I wrote this earlier in the week. It's time to recalibrate our expectations of what questionable means, because I think the team has recalibrated what they mean when they say it. It's no longer – the other night they had five guys questionable and one played.
Right.
And so it's no longer when we call a guy questionable, where we think he's probably going to play, because they called Vince Williams Jr. questionable, and they knew he was not going to play. He should have been out on the injury report. There was no questionable to that.
Right.
He was not going to play,
right.
And they made it questionable. So it's time to throw that expectation out the window about what that stuff means.
It's more accurate, the new one, the new version. Questionable is questionable. Might or might not play.
Well, it was less accurate about Vince Williams Jr. because they knew he was not going to play.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
I think Santi will start if Santi can play. And so next man up, man. Santi moves up to start, and like Santi's really good. But defensively, like Edie has been a problem defensively. Everyone's been a problem except for Jaren defensively.
Right.
But just because of, you know, when guys are attacking the paint and he has to react to stuff moving towards him, like that, like Atlanta, I guess Atlanta, they give up like 80 points in the paint, and it's that, right? And he doesn't have a lot of help in front of him. So it's like the defense in front of him is not stopping guys from attacking the rim.
Right.
And now guys are just coming at him, and he has to react quickly, and, you know, that's always going to be a problem for Zach Edey, but he's a rookie right now. It's more of a problem now than it'll be next year or the year after. And Asante is not the guy who fixes that. And so there's that. I think they'll have to win with offense even more. You hope you're tightening up your effort and execution defensively with what you have, but you don't have your best defensive player. And so the hope would be like, you know, Ja gets back and Santi gets back. And this team that's been really good offensively can be really good offensively. And even though Jaren's been the leading scorer, they haven't had Ja in a lot of those games. So if Ja plays, you know, you're just getting it different ways from different people. But, you know, maybe this opportunity for Ja to start getting some 30-point games or whatever.
Who soaks up? Do we see more of Gigi now?
Well, that's what they did against Atlanta when right. Jaren came out and Gigi came in and Gigi played a lot of minutes. And it was a mixed bag. Now, it's been worse than mixed in a lot of games.
Right.
It was more of a mixed bag against Atlanta. It was a mix of good and bad. You do wonder, you got the Gigi thing. I mean, Conchar rebounds well enough. You can sort of play small. That's something they've been doing more in the last few games. And I think you may see more of Edey. You may see Santi and Brandon Clark playing together a lot. And you may see a lot of Zach Edey with four smalls around him. Zach Edey with a John Conchar nominal power forward, Gigi Jackson nominal power forward, Vince Williams Jr. nominal power forward,
right.
and playing small around Edey. I think that's probably what you're going to see a lot of. More so maybe than a lot of Jay Huff or like a Marvin Bagley thrust into the mix. Those are options. They got Huff and Bagley right. there, but I think it's more likely you'd see more Conchar, Gigi Jackson, and playing small.
Vince Williams still a minute cap on him.
They haven't said there's a minute cap on him, but evidence suggests there's a minute right. cap on him. Although he was, I think that last game against Atlanta was his highest, so it's been moving up. I think it was, I don't know, 24 or something like that from my memory. And so it seems like the plan, my understanding is that the plan has been for that to keep, moving, ticking up until it doesn't exist anymore but before you get to the end of the season. And so, you know, hopefully there's not that much of a minutes cap on him at this point.
And then when you open with the Fall to Pieces song and you reference the vibe or whatever it is,
what do we
think the hell is going, like, do you think the vibe is off, whatever that means?
Well, you know, Drew, when we did the podcast yesterday, Drew and I recorded, which I think is up, people can listen to. And Drew had written this sort of as his game story the night before in his framing, which is totally justifiable framing, even if I don't totally agree with it, because people can disagree. His framing was like, can they pick themselves up off the mat? Can they get past this?
Right.
And my reaction to that was, if this, you lost three in a row for the first time all season right. by a total of 5 points with like half of your guys out, if this is the thing that breaks your team apart that you can't get past,
right.
And that's a pretty damning. That's pretty damning indictment of your mental toughness and leadership, anyway.
Right,
because this should not be the thing that like destroys your will or your chemistry or any of that. This should not be a big deal. So they're playing the Thunder tonight. I went and looked at the Thunder's last game, and like, man, like the Thunder, I think, have won something like 13 of their last 15, and both the losses are against Minnesota, and one's in overtime, and they're just rolling. And like, this is not the game
by which to judge anything.
This is definitely this game is definitely not a referendum on anything. This is it was a reasonable expectation to beat San Antonio shorthanded, and they didn't do it. It was a reasonable expectation to beat Atlanta shorthanded, and it didn't do it. It is not a reasonable expectation right. to expect them to win this game right. tonight without Jaren. If they did, that'd be awesome, but it's not a reasonable expectation. So tonight is not the test, unless it's ugly and you feel like the vibe right. is getting worse. That's the only thing. But like, so, just to put a little context, I think Grizzlies fans mostly pay attention to the Grizzlies, and like, that's it. So the Thunder's last game, they beat Houston by like 12, 13 points the last game. Houston was without four starters in that game, all with injury stuff. Right. Fred VanVleet didn't play, Dylan Brooks didn't play, Amen Thompson didn't play, and Alperen Şengün didn't play, like all four of them. And it was their third straight loss, right? And so like, it's a long season and there are ebbs and flows. And right now the Grizzlies are ebbing and Houston's ebbing and the Lakers are flowing and like, it could be that those things become permanent and they don't right. turn, but they may not either. There's like, you know, 5 or 6 weeks to go in the
Houston
regular
lost
season.
Again last night then to the Pacers.
Yeah, yeah. So they lost three in a row. And
to me, if I were making the argument in favor of the this isn't just the three losses in the row. If they get past this is three losses in a row and a Ja who we don't know if he's going to show up and play or not, or what
right.
his mood is will necessarily be when he does, although that seems to have been better lately. Given up routinely 70-point halves and 45-point quarters. Like, the this isn't just that the results were bad for three straight games.
Oh, no.
It was
This is the point I made, is that they could have gone 3-0 in those games, because they're all like single bucket games. They could have easily gone 3-0 in those games, but all those problems would still have been there if they'd gone 3-0.
Right.
Like they could have given up the 70-point half in the 40-whatever-point quarter and still won the game. Like, there's one shot. And so there are underlying problems that are real that we just wouldn't be talking about as much if they'd happened to win the games, but the problems are still there. The defense problem's still there. The turnover's still there. The player availability's still there. These are all real problems. And these are real problems they have to try to get through between now and the end of the season if they want to do something in the playoffs. But I don't think these are the things that should – if this team is at all serious, they shouldn't collapse in the face of this, you know?
Right.
They shouldn't.
Right. I'm that's clearly right. I rolled my eyes a little at Taylor Jenkins. I don't look at whatever you said about the standings. We're not so tightly focused on the standings or whatever at the time when it happened. Now, honestly,
it's kind of thing where you're speaking off the cuff and you're telling the truth. But you're not telling the truth in a way that you would have, like, if you framed it in a way to be good public relations.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that was. But although now, right now, actually, given the state of things,
right,
like, what should be the goal between now and the end of the season? What's the priority?
The goal, I mean, it is. This is sort of what I wrote about earlier in the week about sort of the, you know, your regular season is about two things. It is about winning enough to get to the playoffs and position yourself to get there. But it's also about arriving with a team that is intact enough and you have the players you want to have, and you have them doing the things you want to do to have success when you get there. And sometimes those two tracks are parallel, and sometimes they sort of bump up against each other and there's tension. And so to me, it's actually not true that the answer is all everything on the first thing. Win every game in front of you. You want to win every game in front of you, but not at all costs, because sometimes there are costs. And so your goal is not second seed or bust, or highest seed possible or bust. Your goal is to win as much as you can while arriving with a team that can compete when it gets there. And so one of the things I threw out in the column, and you hope this is not a choice, you hope you can do both. But would you rather be the second seed with a beat up team, or the fifth seed with an intact team? Like, that's a real question. It's not obvious, you know? And so you're trying to to do both as well as you can. And so I do think they've reached a point now in the season, and it's like, who knows, maybe they go on a 10-game losing streak and you look up and you're in the play-in. Realistically, the math is such that the range is narrowed from 2-5. And that matters from 2-5, but I don't know if the difference from 2-5 trumps the idea of actually having an intact team when you get there.
Are the Lakers a contender?
Well, they got LeBron and Luka on the same team. It's hard to say no. I don't. The rest of that roster is shaky enough that I don't see them. It depends on what you mean by contender, right? Do I see them winning four rounds of playoff basketball? No. Do I see them winning three rounds of playoff basketball? I don't think so. But, like, who knows? Like, the Thunder, like, you know, didn't get out of the second round last year. Can I see them winning two? Yeah, definitely. And so. To me, if a contender is, do you have a reasonable chance to get to a conference finals? The answer is, yeah, they have a reasonable chance to get to a conference finals.
All right, and then we saw the Tony Allen film last night. You are in it, talking particularly about the acquisition of Tony Allen. That was your biggest pop, was when you were talking about the Chris Wallace going out and getting Tony Allen.
Right.
You had good company in it, because basically every Hall of Fame.
Right.
It was, as Michael Blevins said,
the only time I've ever co-starred with Kevin Durant.
Right. He was like, he seemed genuinely pissed that they didn't sign Tony Allen back for the Celtics, didn't he? Like, it was, that was.
Are we talking about Doc Rivers?
No. Well, they all did. Kevin Durant did. Pierce did.
You're talking about Garnett.
Garnett did. Pierce did. And then Danny Ainge tried to rationalize it. Yeah, I think Tony wanted to go be his own self or whatever else like
that. Right, right.
There's still, Kevin Garnett is still irritated, it seemed like, in that. Anyway, what did you think of the film?
It was great. I mean, this is the third one of these they've done. The Michael Blevins and his staff have done. And Zach Randolph, then Marc Gasol, and then Tony Allen. The Tony Allen one was a long time in coming. My interview stuff was done, I think, like 4 years ago. At this point, obviously, it got delayed because of some Tony's off-court stuff, which they actually do deal with in the movie. I wasn't sure if they would. And what's different about the Tony one is that they've all had slightly different characters to them. And what's interesting about the Tony one, I think more than the Mark and Zach, and Mark goes into like his earlier life stuff, but because it's a Memphis story.
Right.
Tony goes into that stuff and it's not a Memphis story. And there's a lot there about growing up in Chicago and how he grew up and his journey from a guy who like would barely played high school basketball, really. Right. And then 2 years at two different junior colleges. And like the journey from him to get to the NBA, it, not an unprecedented, there are guys like this, but it was a wild, it was not your, your typical journey, you know? Yeah.
No, I thought, and you'll think about it, like reflecting back on the Zeebo one, I don't think we've spent a lot of time in Indiana, you know, and early brushes with the law, if he had them, whatever, like what happened in Portland or whatever else. Whereas we spent a lot of time, it was Tony's journey, really. And I just thought the stuff like about shooting dice when he was 13.
There's an anecdote in the movie, in the one you reference, where his dad, who it sounded like he didn't have an everyday relationship with, right? But did have a relationship with as a kid. And his dad gives him a $100 bill one day. And Tony goes to the neighborhood grocery store, exchanges the $100 bill for 100 $1 bills, and goes to the neighborhood to shoot dice. And he's like 12 or 13.
Yeah. And he basically, then he'd go to school and he'd just shoot dice all day. He'd go to class.
He'd go to the first three classes because I guess they took attendance after the third period. Yeah. So he'd go to the first three classes until the attendance was taken. Then he'd go like to the gym or what. He'd be like, I was at school. I just wasn't at class, you know?
Yeah, it was. And then that, and then as you point out, the getting, he got kicked out of one junior college. He not barely recruited in high school at all. Kicked out of one junior college, goes to a second junior college. Goes to Oklahoma State, gets in a fight at a Whataburger, and is arrested his first week. Yeah. Like, it is a journey.
He didn't do any of the AAU stuff or whatever.
What is AAU?
He said he knew what that was. He said he thought that, like, you know, you just play in your neighborhood at the playground. If you're better than the older guys, maybe you can make it to the league. And he didn't realize that scouts weren't showing up to, like, the neighborhood playground, you know.
It's funny. When Tony was here, and I said this earlier, he's always been funny.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it felt like he was unintentionally funny, right?
Yeah.
He was really in the film and after. He is really funny, intentionally funny.
Yeah, no, he's gotten a little bit more self-aware about it. Like the thing where, and they do this in the movie where he like walks through the kids, you know, thing at the Golden State game. That was sort of like an embodiment of part of why that was such a great Tony moment is it didn't seem out of character. Like that was just, it seemed like he was locked in his own mental space like all the time, you know?
Yeah, and then I thought the fact that they did deal with the legal trouble he was in after he retired,
right?
It fit the theme, though.
Yeah,
you didn't you think? I mean, yeah. it fit the theme of you know the struggles that he's been through. I thought it was great. Did you know about his relationship? Evidently, very close relationship with Derrick Rose.
Not as much. I mean, they're both from Chicago, and I knew there was a thing there of Derrick Rose, and I think Tony's. Is it Derrick Rose and Tony's younger brother or Derrick Rose's older brother? And there's some connection. Because there's the age difference there, and there's some connection age-wise among siblings.
It was Tony's younger brother was friends with Derrick Rose.
I knew a little bit about that, but I didn't know as much. And I didn't know they were still, like, close friends now, like, hanging out together kind of stuff.
Right.
And that came out almost more in the post-film Q&A than it did in the film.
Yeah. There's an adorable scene where Tony's there with his kids. I don't spoil it. He's got a great written a song about cranberry juice. That was great too.
An absolute banger.
In terms of the basketball stuff, and we were talking about this off the air. I think we knew most of that. You were there to fill in a lot of the blanks on the acquisition of Tony and the role he played. I think people may forget how after they got him. That he, as Vernon put it, collected dust for a while.
Yeah, I'm working on some stories for next week in the lead up to that game. And that's one of the things I'm sort of getting get into. There's a game that to me is the definitive Tony Allen game, and
the Clippers game.
It was not mentioned in the documentary at all. But it's from that season, and I'm going to write about it a little bit.
I see. So was there an injury that forced him into the lineup early on, or was
there was a lot of things going on. And again, I'm going to write a little bit about this next week, but. You know, they signed Tony, but they already had Mike Conley, OJ Mayo, Rudy Gay, like incumbent starters across the perimeter.
Right.
They also used a lottery pick on Zaire Henry, who was a perimeter player that summer. And they had Sam Young coming off his rookie season, who they were high on. So there's a lot of people there. And he had a head coach who, and I'll have quotes to this effect from Lionel in the story I'm working on, who didn't want to sign him. Like you know, they had, and I'll write about this, but they had a meeting in Summer League. The Grizzlies did with Chris Wallace. The Maroonies and Lionel, and it's Chris Wallace pitching Lionel and wanting to sign Tony Allen, and Chris Wallace didn't want to sign Tony Allen.
So you mean, Lionel Hollins didn't want to sign Tony Allen.
Yes, right. That's right. Yeah, Chris Wallace wanted to sign, and the Maroonies too apparently wanted to sign Tony, and they're like trying to convince Lionel this is the way we should go, and that's not what Lionel wanted to do, and so like he had to overcome that.
Yeah, he didn't play him early, huh?
Which he did.
It was Sam Young played a lot.
Sam Young started more games that season than Tony Allen, Xavier Henry, or OJ Mayo. There's a trivia question for you.
It was a and the film again last night. It'll be available on YouTube starting tomorrow. Certainly, if you have any affection for that era, it's great and wonderful to see. And I had forgotten the haircut.
And hey, they'd be maybe waiting a while on the fourth one because, you know, Conley's still playing.
Going, right.
I
although I saw your guy Britt Robson talking about how he was getting blown by on defense yesterday on Twitter. I didn't see.
So Conley's under contract next season. My understanding, I talked to Mike about this. I don't want to go too far afield because it was not the tape recorders were off, but he's planning to play beyond next season. But that's not always up to the player. But his goal is not just to fulfill this current. He's 37, and he doesn't want to just play out this contract next season. He has eyes beyond that.
Wow.
He is the kind of guy who, like,
you would
love to have him in a locker room even if he's barely playing.
That's
just
true.
To have Mike Conley, you know?
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. We normally have Sam Hardiman in the next segment, but Sam, I think there's a new story up at the Daily Memphian about MLG and W that Sam is involved in, so we won't have Sam Hardiman, and instead we have a lot of NFL stuff and other stuff to talk about. Again, I want to reiterate that Penny Hardaway is going to be joining Jason and John at 11:25. Jeffrey, is that right?
Yeah. Indeed.
So stick with us here. We're going to take a break back in a moment. Before then, I will tell you, I'm certain that if you own a home, you've gotten unsolicited offers for your home for cash, unsolicited cash offers. I've been talking to Josh Hysaw about this. Obviously, it's tempting to take a cash offer for your home rather than having to, you know, spruce it up, do fixes, market it, whatever else. But here's the problem. As Josh will point out, you often get lowballed in those offers. The reason you don't respond to those offers is you know they're low. And Josh Hysaw confirms that they are low. He will also make you a cash offer, and he wants to make it clear it will be for your home's full market value. Still easy, still simple way to move. You don't even have to move out right away. You can get up to 4 months to get everything packed and figure out what's next. But that's what Josh Hysaw, the kind of thing that Josh Hysaw can do for you. Josh Hysaw and his team at Keller Williams Realty. You can call them today at 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a little unpleasant out there today, Jeffrey, you know? Have you noticed that? A little breezy? A little breezy? And
yeah.
But spring is on the way, and I know this because over at Oak Hall, you walk in there, and it is Technicolor. It is absolutely fabulous, loaded with spring and summer merchandise. So maybe you are headed to somewhere warm for spring break, or maybe you're getting ready for the Masters, or maybe you're getting ready for this glorious spring and summer that are to come. Get yourself to Oak Hall. Get yourself a new sport coat. My sport coats from Oak Hall literally changed my entire reputation is different since I started shopping at Oak Hall. And right now, they are loaded up with spring and summer merchandise. This would be a perfect time to get in there. The clothes are spectacular. The clothes are really, truly spectacular. And the folks are unbelievable. And they will nudge you. I have one sport coat that I own that I would not have gotten, certainly on my own. It's just a little brighter than I would have. And I get compliments on it all the time. Spring and summer, bursting at Oak Hall. Now is the time to get in there. Jeffrey, we do have Grizzlies tonight. Massive national TV.
Indeed.
Massive game. Why do I feel so hopeless?
Because the last time you saw the Thunder... And they
and
were
this was a healthy
strength.
Grizzly, yeah.
And,
it does.
And they were coming the second night of a back-to-back.
I do feel hopeless about. I don't feel hopeless about the team. In fact, the big argument that Jason and John and I had, and I've had it 2 weeks in a row with them, and things have changed a little bit because the Grizzlies have, since I had this argument with them, have spiraled and people have gotten hurt again, right?
Yep.
But here's the argument. Should you be angry that they're not better than they are? Put aside the last three games, right?
When
things, but because we've been having this argument for 2 weeks, right? So when they were second, third, whatever in the West, and should you be angry that they aren't better than they are? And my argument was, sure, if you want to be angry that the Memphis Tigers aren't better than they are, then you should also be angry that the Grizzlies aren't better than they are. In other words, both teams are. Neither team is among the best at what they do, right? Neither team is among the best at what they do. I think Auburn's loss last night, notwithstanding, that we would all say that Auburn,
Duke,
Houston. And Houston, clearly a different category than the Tigers. But that doesn't stop me from being happy with the Tigers and acknowledging that it's a good season, right?
Yes.
And that things are good. And the same thing, the Grizzlies are very clearly behind Oklahoma City, behind Cleveland,
Boston,
and behind Boston, right? And but it doesn't stop me from enjoying the fact that they're, you know, a very good team.
Good again.
And I don't know why that's actually particularly complicated. It seems pretty obvious to me. Now, there's no question that and you reevaluate every day. Like I'm not just going to be perpetually happy if the Memphis Tigers lose to South Florida Friday and then again get bounced out in the first week of the tournament. I'm going to say, whoa, that was certainly not what I hoped or wanted, and that was disappointing. Same thing, the last three games for the Grizzlies, let's be honest, I kind of ripped the player deployment against San Antonio. Like, I'm not happy at all about this. So it's all fluctuating. I do think one interesting difference, the vibes around one team that's good but not great, that's the Memphis Tigers, could not be higher right now, right? Like, and they, given history and everything else, the vibes are very good around that team, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Stability.
The vibes around the Grizzlies, the vibes are worse than the record right now.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
And so maybe that's partly what this is a reflection of. Why are the vibes, I mean, it's not, there's no mystery why the vibes around the Tigers are good. A, people always wanted Penny to be successful. He is now being successful. It was a critical year where they were teetering on the precipice, and all they've done is put together a fabulous season where they're 25-5, 15-2 in conference, and headed to the, of course the vibes are good. If the players are showering them with water, of course they're good. Even before the last minute, the last week with the Grizzlies, the vibes were not that good.
Ja.
And I think that's the reason. Here's the truth. Here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. And I say this after watching the film last night. That team got to one conference finals, right?
Yep.
Which is further than this team has gotten.
Yeah.
But we never actually thought they were going to, like, we didn't rip them for not being the best team in the league. They never were. They never were really close to being the best team in the league. And I always felt like they were not as good as a healthy Oklahoma City team, right? Certainly.
It was also a super
Spurs,
team era.
Whatever, they were super team era, whatever else. So, but I don't know. The truth of the matter is, right now, I think Ja has a huge impact on people, how people feel about this team. And it's like being in relationship with someone that when you started dating them, they were a joyful ray of sunshine, right? And now you never know when you walk into the house, what's the mood going to be? Are you going to have to tiptoe around them? Are they going to be angry? Are they going to moody? Are they going to take the day off? Are they going to, I really do think, and you've been saying this for a while, I really think Ja's mood. And it's why when we played the Tyus Stones, when Tyus was making his return, when the Suns were in town and Tyus was here, and you just hit the Tyus drop, and we heard that, it made me sad to hear because it reminded me how joyous this era used to be. And I do think, like, I'm not worried anymore about Ja doing something stupid with the gun or whatever else, or John at the strip, whatever, like that
no,
stuff
I totally
at
agree.
All. But it is just, it is, and I don't know, I'm trying to think of another example of when your star is as emotionally fragile as he appears to be, up, down, whatever else, it's hard to feel, it is, you're in relationship with someone who You're walking on glass all the time around him.
No, because I was also trying to think of other examples in team sports. So set aside individual sports, like
no. But I was trying to think of it. Because
like someone was saying, like, well, what about Durant? And it's like, I mean, Durant would mix it up, but like not like this on the floor. Rodgers can be mopey, but
I was trying to think of this too. Who's another example of a superstar who kind of their emotions go up and down so much that they hold the whole fan base, you know, kind of hostage with their emotions? How are they feeling today?
I mean, honestly, the first one that came to mind, and I just don't know if, like, I don't know if it's fair, I don't know if it's a generational thing, but Caleb Williams? He's an emotional guy?
Yeah, I don't know that it's... I don't think the Bears feel like that about Caleb
Williams. Yeah, but like at USC, he could do that too.
Maybe there was some of that at USC. It's different. It's different because you're not around as long in college. But I'm not. It is not immediately springing to mind the perfect example of this. But it is. I do think that's one of. I think it's one of the reasons, and it's just. It's why that's where, like, whatever. They might win tonight. That would be incredible if they could pull that off tonight, and that would be great. And maybe it'll be, it would partly because Ja would play and be magnificent, right? Like, presumably, if they somehow can win tonight.
I would think that that's in the formula.
But it does feel like we've talked about this window of this team, right?
Yep.
You just need a healthy, happy, you do need a happy, healthy Ja. For this team to be as much fun as it once was, you know, and as fun as it could possibly be, and so it's a, I mean, you've got Jaren has turned into a terrific player and just a gem on and off the court. Dez is, you know, sort of feel a rock solid, maybe not in the final minutes as a point guard, but whatever. Dez is rock.
He got
solid.
Hit in the face.
I think that's partly it. It also feel like it's weird because, as Chris says, what is the this that you have to surmount? Oh, can they get off the mat after this? Three losses? They're literally Cleveland once has lost. Like the
28 teams have lost three times.
Yeah, so like that's nothing. That so why do we feel this way about it? Why does it feel? And I think it's a lot of stuff. It feels like these could be the last days of Taylor Jenkins. I think that's part of it, too, don't you? Like, there's a lot of stuff going into this right now.
I think also, like, you know, you can't trick yourself. And I do think a big part of this is when they go up against the good teams, they've not had success. And as Chris has pointed out, well, when a lot of teams go up against those three teams, they don't have a lot of success.
But as he's also pointed out, with this team, it's not just against the top three. If you then look at the next tier,
correct.
They also haven't been particularly good against the next team tier. So what do? They have, weirdly enough, they do. They must have a great rate net rating because they eviscerate bad teams, which the Tigers don't do. Anyway, it's been interesting to just see these two things, these two paths as they crisscross. And you never know. You never know what they could win their first playoff series, be on to the next playoff series. Memphis Tigers could get bounced in the first game, and all of a sudden it would have flipped around. But I think that's the best.
I think that's part of the equation too, because the more and more we see more NBA basketball, there's this question of like, what's the value of the regular season? Like, is this all just going to be determined by the playoffs?
I'm measuring so much of the by the film that I saw last night. I just don't recall in that era, and maybe I sound like get off my lawn guy, showing up wondering every day if Zeebo, Mark, Mike, or Tony were going to play.
Because
looking at the injury report as part of my daily diary.
It starts kind of again, whether or not the Spurs were patient zero, they're the ones that popularized it. And it hadn't really... It had not become as widespread at that point.
Massive game in Oxford tonight. Ole Miss, Tennessee, right? That's going to be a big one.
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss's body of work is kind of...
Oh, no, they're in.
Yeah, like they're kind of... like maybe you could move up a seed line.
No, I just mean fun. Fun game.
For Tennessee,
Tennessee is, look like be a one seed here.
Yeah.
But it'll be a big event. Down there. Obviously, had the upsets last night with A&M beating Auburn. Arkansas got a big win over Vandy. Mississippi State gets upset by Texas. So that was all interesting. We did have the news from the ACC that they apparently have reached a deal. They're going to stop suing each other. What is happening? What's the new agreement coming out of the ACC?
So first and foremost, they settled lawsuits. Clemson and Florida State, their lawsuit's done. The ACC's responsive lawsuit's done. What they agreed on now was a buyout to exit. Because previously, the argument from the ACC was, this is a binding agreement for your rights. There is no price. Well, now there is a price. It starts at $165 million. It decreases by $18 million. and it levels out at $75 million before the 2030-2031 season. And so essentially what almost everyone's looking at is 2030 and 2031 is when the Big Ten's television network or television deal would be up. Therefore, that could give clarity to schools that would be trying to move to that league. The SEC is 2034. The Big 12 is 2030.
So like, for example, the Memphis fans are like, well, you know, if the ACC ever falls apart, maybe shards of the ACC, we can join. When is the earliest that we could imagine the ACC falling apart?
And most expect, if maybe it gets announced in like 2028, but it would be for 2030-31. And the question that I have as it pertains to Memphis is, if the ACC breaks up, number one, how many break up? Is the ACC going to try and backfill? You know, because Memphis's number would be up. Are they going to try to backfill and do it that way? Or would there be a phone call to the Big 12 saying, hey, let's finally do this merger. That's our path to survival. Or would we see what kind of happened the last two times where teams start panicking like, well, good luck to you. We're going to go find our own home. And so then the ACC just winds up dissolved.
Other news, there was some NFL news today.
Sam Hubbard. Did you see this? He retired.
Sam Hubbard retired.
At 29.
Oh, he's only 29.
Yeah.
Joe Thuney.
Traded from the Chiefs to the Bears.
Interesting, because the Chiefs had struggled along the offensive line. Now, they've tagged Trey Smith.
Yep.
But you wouldn't think that part of the solution to fixing their offensive line would be getting rid of one of their starters. He's older, obviously. They kicked him out to tackle. It did not work.
In one game.
Right. And so
I didn't see a lot of Chiefs blocking the Eagles.
The Bears continuing to fortify their offensive line. So that is interesting. We did get the news, Jeffrey, that no UNC hard knocks.
Yeah.
We did. That seemed like it was close to happening.
Close to happening, and if you don't think he's blackballed, I'm not the crazy one.
All right, what's coming up next on 92.9?
What's coming up next on Jason and John? As Jeff has mentioned, as did John, Penny Hardaway is going to join them at 11:25. Cerrito will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. CJ Hurt joins us at 3:30. Also, Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow. Play Writer and Write Trivia. We got to get out of here right now, for now, work is done.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.